This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:37 a.m. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Keith Kam. Let's turn our attention over to what's happening in the Asia-Pacific real estate sector, particularly in China and Hong Kong. China's property slump sees no signs of turnaround yet, as sales from top real estate companies in March fell by 46%, as did the prices of homes. Other signs that all is not well also include state-backed property company Vanke seeing a 46% decline in full-year net profit, the largest slump since its 1991 listing, while the world's most indebted property company, Country Garden, missed a deadline for reporting annual results.
So Bloomberg Intelligence recently noted that developers have been bartering unsold real estate to property managers to settle unpaid bills. And over in Hong Kong, the removal of property curbs back in late February boosted new home transactions significantly as transactions reached an 11-year high last month. So can this pick up in Hong Kong's housing market last, and has China's real estate crisis reached the bottom?
For more insights on this, we have on the line with us Patrick Wong, head of Bloomberg Intelligence Hong Kong. Patrick, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. So if we look over to China, the real estate crisis there still shows no signs of easing. How do you anticipate the developers to settle unpaid bills and debts moving forward? What is the cash flow situation for the players involved?
Yes, I think the challenge right now for major developers is that the contract sales momentum still very weak overall this year. And even that is lots of like easing to support the housing market. So it come to a bit challenging for the developers to sustain the cash flow, right? And that's why we see the Vanke even after Country Garden last year. So it's all the developers also getting a bit trouble at this point. But having said that, I think there's also some way to turn around a little bit, like the property managers, like, for example, some of the developers, they still have the property managers that doing pretty good in terms of the cash flow. They also have the less cash. So basically, it could also be an opportunity for those developers to see how to capture the cash from them. Of course, there's different ways to turn around. Like, for example, like you can sell some of the assets to the property managers in terms of getting the money. Of course, it's also about the connected transaction. So it's not something easy to approve sometimes. It involves the shareholders. And then basically, I think the challenge is that the receivables that deal from related parties is also getting high for those property managers. So it also affects the earnings momentum for those property managers. But at the end, I think it's also an opportunity for some developers to capture that.
So, Patrick, this, using unsold property as cash on property players, what sort of implication can we see on this, on the wider housing market? Is it going to make the situation worse or just put a band-aid on it?
I think it's just buying time for some developers to hopefully the contract sales momentum can turn around later this year and support the business model. The thing is that we also see developers overall, they are also trying to like cutting price to sell and also trying to get opportunity to like to make sure that if the sentiment can turn around a bit, then could help. But having said that, I think our forecast so far for now still the same, is that the contract sales of the top 100 developers will down by at least 20% this year. So under this backdrop, I think the sentiment may still weak for a prolonged period. So it's definitely to do further easing to help.
So last year, China unveiled measures to prop up the sector. How would you assess how effective these measures have been? And are there expectations of more mitigation efforts coming from the government?
Yes, I think two ways to look at that. So one way is that the government also trying to ensure those uncompleted projects get completed, right? So that is something the government also turn around to use the like the whitelist, for example, for the banks to make sure that they can like give the sufficient financing for get the project completed. And then I think some high cities, really major cities, they still have room to ease a little bit in terms of the home sales restrictions. So that could also support those prime cities to make sure that the sales can increase a bit. But that is only confined to some really prime cities like Shenzhen, Shanghai, right? That kind of thing. But other smaller cities that still have a pretty big challenge. So that's why our forecast still think the sales could down 20% this year for major developers.
So Patrick, if we go across to Hong Kong, the government there scrapped all of its property curbs some months ago. Has that provided a long-lasting lift to all segments of the residential market, and have you seen any improvements in prices?
Yeah, for Hong Kong, it's also an interesting one because Hong Kong, we have the easing, right, this year. And basically for all foreign buyers now, they can basically just use the same stamp duty that the local buyers here. So maximum will be like 4.25% versus previously, I think a year ago, we are talking about 30%, right? So it's cutting a lot. So we see the mainland buyers coming back. And of course, we can't compare with the good old days, but still we see the momentum pretty strong. Like last month in March, we saw the primary market sold almost 4,000 units. Right. So that is also compared with last year, it's just like roughly more than 10,000. So you see the momentum is very strong. And even this year in April, I think it's still on track to have another like 2,000. Right. So which is a good sign to see the developers can get better cash. The only thing is the pricing, because we observe that if the price increase a bit, though, then the developers found difficult to sell. So basically, the price is still a bit challenging under the interest rate, the mortgage rate is still at a relatively high level in Hong Kong.
Your research also noted that Hong Kong's office vacancy rate could increase further this year. I mean, what's driving that?
The vacancy, I think, is also two reasons. One is about the demand. So we see the financial market is a bit challenging right now in Hong Kong. The IPO deal is relatively slow, and the fundraising part, I think, for like Chinese developers or coming to a difficult situation for the debt issuance is also, in the past, there's lots of offshore debt issuance. It didn't happen too much here. So that is the demand side affect the office demand, especially in the central district. The supply side, I think, is also another story because we also see a pretty big supply coming in for last year and also somehow this year as well. So the overall, the fundamental, we see that the rents overall coming down quite a bit this year. We're still forecasting the rents will come down another 6% this year. So that is a bit challenging for landlord to negotiate the rates when the vacancy rates keep rising to 16% or even higher.
Patrick, Hong Kong and Singapore, they've been battling to be Asia's financial hub for a long time now. What does the real estate data tell us about who is actually winning?
Yes, I think it always depends on how we interpret, right? But basically, we observe that if Singapore looks more stable, like in terms of housing prices, I think it kind of make the prices pretty stabilizing over the past 2 years, and the tightening last year also helped support the market. So the rents, I think, is softening a bit versus previously the crazy rising for the housing rents in Singapore. But now I think stabilizing, which is much better sign, right? And Hong Kong, I think the situation is that we see the price, home price come down by like 25% since the peak in 2021. But having said that, we also see the easing happen, right, recently. So it's also support the market. At least the price is stabilizing a bit. But in the long run, I think without those restrictions, Hong Kong could be more volatile in terms of the pricing. And it also depends on the demand side from the mainland China. So that is also mean that for Hong Kong could be more volatile versus Singapore could be more stabilizing. Mm. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Patrick, thanks very much for speaking with us. That was Patrick Wong, head of Bloomberg Intelligence in Hong Kong, talking to us about the outlook for the China and Hong Kong property sectors. I think both have their own challenges that they're going to need to navigate, especially for China. There are just a lot of headwinds that need to be considered. Whether we'll see a pickup this year, there's not really a lot of optimism on that for now.
And certainly they don't have that optimism because, you know, the question I asked about developers bartering unsold real estate to get cash, his answer to it was that, yeah, what they're doing is basically just to kick the can down the road and hoping for things to improve. And if they don't improve, then we'll just wait and see.
Waiting game indeed. 7:47 in the morning. We're going to head into some messages, but when we come back, we'll discuss how concerned should we be about rising youth debt. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.